Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I am your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode one of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft-eligible prospects and get you ready for the NFL draft. And college football is right around the corner. Hard to believe that we're already in August, meaning we're in the dog days of summer. College football is right around the corner, just a few weeks away, which means it's time to start talking about not only the 2024 college football season, but also the 2025 NFL draft prospects. So what we're going to do over the course of the next couple of weeks is really take a look at the different positions, who are the players to really keep an eye out for as we get into the 2024 college football season. The first position we're going to start with is the quarterback position. We're going to go through, take a look at guys that I think will be in the top 10 with the rankings, plus add a few other guys to keep an eye out for there as well within this quarterback class. But I think even before we get into this, we've got to talk about that 2024 draft class, right? When we talk about quarterbacks, six quarterbacks not only taken in the first round, but six quarterbacks taken with the first 12 picks. You take a look at it too. These are experienced quarterbacks, right? You look at a guy like Caleb Williams, who played a year at Oklahoma, 2 years starting at USC. Then you see Jaden Daniels, played there at Arizona State for a couple of years, then transfers to LSU for two. Drake May, three-year starter at UNC. Michael Penix Jr. started 4 years for the Hoosiers, had all of those injuries, then follows it up with two fantastic seasons there at Washington. And then rounding out the group, you got J.J. McCarthy, a guy who, look, he beat out Cade McNamara there for the starting job at Michigan. Unfortunately, he's going to miss the 2024 NFL season due to a knee injury, had to have knee surgery, so he's out for the year. But you look at Bo Nix going to the Broncos. This is another guy, look, 61 career starts at Auburn and Oregon. So really the moral of the story there is those top six quarterbacks, a ton of college experience. So when you have that collegiate experience there, that's something I think really took note when you look at that draft class, why we saw so many quarterbacks come off the board early. How many quarterbacks are we going to see come off the board early this year? I think round one, really you're looking at three quarterbacks. I think there are two that we'll see in the top 10, and that's Carson Beck and Shedeur Sanders. Quinn Ewers is probably that number three guy. And then after that, I think there's kind of a mismatch of quarterbacks, guys that really are looking to step up and prove themselves, some guys that are coming off of injury, some guys that had a lackluster 2023 season, a lot of faces in new places, and really wanting to see if that will help elevate their game. So I think really the best thing to do is to just jump right into the quarterback position and talk through some of these players. And the first one that we have to talk about is Carson Beck out of Georgia. This is my number one quarterback as of right now. 6'4", 220 pounds. This is a guy I've said is a system quarterback. I've called him that. I've said he's a game manager. This is a guy that rarely makes plays outside the confines of an offense, which isn't a bad thing. He's got a quick release. This is a guy that's a quick decision maker. Only a one-year starter there at Georgia, so he's going to get his second year here in 2024. But completed over 70% of his pass, 72.4 this past season, over 3,900 yards, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Not the most mobile guy by any means, but this is a guy, look, he can make throws to all three levels of the field. This is a guy plays with anticipation, and you see the accuracy, ball placement down the field. Mechanics get him into trouble at times, but I think with Georgia, the direction that they're headed, this is a team that's ranked number one in the country in the preseason poll. A lot is going to be riding on what Carson Beck can do with that offense. I think that's going to be a real key for them going forward. But the thing is they've got a kid who doesn't try to do too much. I don't think that's a bad thing either. Like I've said, staying within the confines of the offense, but the accuracy, his ability to remain calm in the pocket, the ability to throw receivers open, and you love his that demeanor. Again, I go back to that calm demeanor out there on the field. This is a guy that, regardless of what's going on around him, is a guy that can elevate not only his play but the play of others around him. At number two on the list is going to be Shedeur Sanders. And Shedeur Sanders, look, you know, I think when he started his career there at Jackson State, this was kind of like a man among boys. So really, the question was, how was he going to perform moving to the Pac-12? And Power 5 conference. And I thought that transition went incredibly well. 6'2", 215 pounds. Completed over 69% of his passes. 3,200 yards, 27 touchdowns, just 3 interceptions. And this is a guy, again, big arm, can throw it to all 3 levels of the field. And here's the thing. When he had time, I think, what was it? Was it Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams were the only two that had better completion percentage, QBR, when they had a clean pocket. And the thing with it is when Shedeur, you look at that Colorado State game, anytime Colorado State went into zone, he was able to sit back. They only were rushing 3. They're dropping 8. And Shedeur was able to pick the Rams apart. And that was really what happened in Pac-12 play. I think what teams started to realize, though, was you could put pressure on Shedeur. He had a porous offensive line. And, porous is probably putting it mildly. There were some Olay blocks with that offensive line. Took a lot of unnecessary hits too, though, because that internal clock just wasn't sped up. I don't think he was ready for a lot of that pressure, and I think that's one of the things that really got into his head. I mean, he was sacked at FBS high 52 sacks last season, and that offensive line definitely played into it. But here's the thing: that internal clock has to be going off. He also was a guy that wanted to continue to extend plays by. He would drift, though. If you watched a guy like Caleb Williams, this was a guy that was looking to make plays. He was looking to, he wasn't retreating. He wasn't drifting backward, which caused him to throw off of his back foot. He doesn't have that type of torque that Caleb Williams has with his arm to be able to still throw the football 50 yards down the field off of his back foot like Caleb Williams did in that Stanford game where he hit Jordan Addison down the field his first year as a starter there with the Trojans. But what you love with Shedeur is the accuracy, the ball placement. And this is a guy, look, the confidence, we know about the confidence. But here's the thing that teams have to decide is you're not only getting Shedeur, you're getting the Sanders family, you're getting Deion, all of that mix. And you have to decide whether or not you're okay with that. I think a lot of what Deion has allowed there at Colorado, he's allowed him to be his own individual. He has a ton of Instagram followers and the social media presence and everything. The watch and all of that going on there with the Buffaloes. And the thing with it is teams have to be okay with a quarterback who is that brash, who is, he's not afraid to speak his mind. And sometimes, he rubs people the wrong way. You saw that, when guys are transferring out of, away from Colorado. How is he going to react when a teammate ends up leaving in free agency? What is he going to do there? Is he going to be a good teammate? Because I feel like there were times there where it didn't always show up that way, in at least in the media. I thought there were times where he didn't make himself look the best in terms of being a teammate for other guys. So there are definitely question marks there. But I think, if I'm thinking of a team, I think Carson Beck, I look at the New York Giants. If Daniel Jones doesn't step up, I think Carson Beck, that's where he goes. But there's a team in the NFL right now that's desperate for a quarterback who would love to take Shedeur Sanders, wouldn't have any issue with the brashness. I mean, Al Davis had that brashness, right? I mean, the silver and black, the Las Vegas Raiders. Deion supposedly said that he didn't want his son playing in a cold weather, city. He wanted it to be warmer weather. Vegas checks off that box as well. I think with Shedeur and all of the extracurriculars, the social media, the Raiders would have to make sure that they reel him in there. But I think Vegas could be a perfect fit for him because, look, Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, those are bridge quarterbacks for the next rookie QB. And right now, I look at the Raiders. They're going to struggle, I think, to win games there in the AFC West, especially when you've got, even the Broncos bringing a new quarterback in Bo Nix, who, has the reports are that he's playing very well in their system. So it's one of those things to where you've got Patrick Mahomes, you've got Justin Herbert, and Bo Nix plays very well. Gardner Minshew, Aiden O'Connell, you know, that's really a huge question mark there right now. So I could see them easily getting into that top five conversation, and Shedeur Sanders could easily be that quarterback for them to take them into the 2025 NFL season. So number three on my list is going to be Quinn Ewers out of Texas. Now, we talk about quarterbacks who have developed over the course of their time in college. This is a guy, you know, he went to Ohio State, much ballyhooed, freshman, ends up leaving Ohio State, goes to Texas, and first year at Texas, you know, I thought he was overweight. I think he weighed about 220 pounds. You know, he had the hair flowing out from behind the helmet, and it was just one of those things to where the accuracy, it just felt like he was doing a little bit, you know, too much with just this relaxed throwing motion. Just got himself into trouble, just a little lackadaisical. I thought that, you know, there was much improved, because look, he went from 58% in 2022 to 69% completion percentage in 2023. Ramped a lot of this up, you know, went from 2,100 yards passing to over 3,400 yards, you know, 22 touchdowns to 6 interceptions. He went from, 220 to 195, so he really started taking care of himself. You could see it with his movement. You saw it with his ability to move in the pocket. You know, Shedeur Sanders, probably one of the best athletes. Unfortunately, when you look at Shadur's rushing totals because of all those sacks, don't look very impressive, but don't get it twisted. Shadur's a great athlete. Quinn Ewers, not the best athlete, but look, this was still a guy who was able to move. He was able to take off and run when he needed to. That's one of the things that I really see with Quinn Ewers is, you know, his ability. He really developed, really matured from 2022 to 2023. Really want to see if he's able to take that next step. That's really the big thing here. Because look, you know, he's got the velocity. He's got the arm strength there. This is a guy who stepped up in a lot of big games and, knew where to go with the football. The problem is that he'll get, like I said, too relaxed. The ball placement will get a little iffy and, he gets himself into trouble. He trusts his arm a little bit too much, makes some throws, some very ill-advised throws, and that leave you kind of questioning and scratching your head. Try to fit the ball into some tight windows that really shouldn't happen. Some of his deep balls will hang up, and really, receivers are having to wait on those footballs because they're hanging up so long. And you'd see Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy break free, and he was late with those footballs because, or even if he was on time, those balls would hang up so long that these guys that should have had, you know, not only those steps, should have been gone, should have been a touchdown, and instead they're having to haul in this pass, and sometimes it's a contested catch because that ball hung up so long. So it's one of those things where he needs to clean up some of the mechanics, needs to really dive in and, you know, make sure that it's precision, that he's making the right decisions, and that, you know, everything is polished. I think, you know, that step from 2022 to 2023, you know, got himself in shape and, you know, started making better reads, but he's got to be more consistent now. He's got to put it all together. That's really what you want to see in 2024. And, you know, we started this podcast off talking about the 6 quarterbacks that were drafted in the top 12 picks. Those were quarterbacks that continued to develop each and every single year. I really want to see what Quinn Ewers can do here. I think that'll solidify his status as a quarterback in the first round of this draft. Another quarterback to keep an eye on is Jackson Dart out of Mississippi. 6'2", 220 pounds. Started his career at USC. Played in 6 games. I believe he started 3 of those. This is a guy, look, you know, a career 63% completion percentage. 52 touchdowns, 21 interceptions. Really a good athlete. That's one of the things I say. He's not the most explosive, but he runs really hard. This is a guy that has the arm talent to make all the throws. The big question mark for him really is with Lane Kiffin's offense. Those are more just those singular reads. He doesn't have to come off of that single read. Not the most complex. So how's that going to really translate to an NFL style, to that pro style, where he's got to go through these different progressions? Lane Kiffin's all about mismatches and setting the stage there for his playmakers to do what they do. And so it's one of those things to where I think he's got a talented receiving core led by Trey Harris. Trey Harris is one of those receivers that's going to be in my top 10 for sure. But he also has another talented receiver coming off of an injury in Antoine Juice Wells. And so I think there's really the stage is set for Jackson Dart to have a big year there at Ole Miss. Ole Miss, look, they did a lot to bring in talent in the transfer portal. I think this is the year that Lane Kiffin could really solidify their status as a top SEC program. But again, how can you translate Lane Kiffin's offense to the NFL? Can Jackson Dart run an NFL offense? And that's going to be, it's really a projection at this point. But you love a lot of what Jackson Dart is able to do. I thought at the end of the 2022 season, he really fell off and struggled at times. And so that's one of the things. Consistency is going to be the key for Jackson Dart if they want to go ahead and take things to the next level with that program. Jackson Dart is going to have to make sure that he is on his game each and every week. As I mentioned, 2022, they lost. They only have one loss going into the game against Alabama, and they ended up losing four straight. And he ends up with three interceptions in the bowl game. Completed just 58% of his passes against Bama and Arkansas. Only one game with multi-touchdowns and zero interceptions. And so that was really, obviously a concern there. But rebounded in a big way in 2023. This is a guy that, look, against LSU, well, it was phenomenal. Over 66% completion percentage, 389 yards, four touchdowns to zero interceptions. In the bowl game against Penn State, a win there. 62% completion percentage, 379 yards, three touchdowns as well. Look, he even rushed for 136 yards and a couple of scores against Georgia Tech. So this is a guy that can definitely sling it. Great athlete, but again, the projection, is he going to be too much of a project for teams to really consider early on in the draft? I think another quarterback that is intriguing, but there are question marks out of bound, and that's Drew Aller out of Penn State. Now, Drew Aller looks the part. When you look at Drew Aller, you're like, yep, this guy is an absolute beast. He is an NFL quarterback if I've ever seen one. 6'5", 242 pounds. But look, this guy has completed under 60% of his passes in each of his first two seasons with the Nittany Lions. Granted, 29 touchdowns, just two interceptions. His first year as a starter was 2023. So we're looking to see what he can do. Can he rebound? This guy's accuracy, he struggled. Struggled especially with pressure. The Ohio State game, it seemed like they were living in his backfield. He started 3 of 9 for 31 yards in the first quarter of that game. He was in pressure the entire quarter. But again, this is a guy that he struggled with accuracy, but didn't always put that ball in jeopardy because he only had those two interceptions. I think he had, going into that Ohio State game, there were 241 passes without an interception, most to start a career in FBS history. So this is a guy that has all of the tools. He has a big arm. He's a guy that does a pretty decent job with his ball placement as well. Good athlete overall. The biggest thing is can he put it all together? Can he improve his accuracy? I think the mechanics need to come around there as well. His lack of touch on the short to intermediate throws can get himself into trouble as well. If he's trying to layer throws, I think sometimes it's only one speed for him, so he's really going to have to dial that in. New offensive coordinator Andy Kotelnicki coming over from Kansas, I think needs to help him get more consistent. Now look, Jalen Daniels worked with Kotelnicki there at Kansas, and this is a guy who completed over 74% of his passes when he stayed on the field, when he stayed healthy. We'll talk about Jalen Daniels here in a minute, but that's the type of guy that's getting in there with Drew Aller. And look, if he can turn the corner there, if he can complete over 60% of his passes, if he can really showcase his ability to be consistently hitting his man down the field with accuracy and again, minimize any of the mistakes, I think Drew Aller is one of those guys that we're talking about as a potential first-round quarterback because he has a lot of the physical gifts and a lot of those physical tools. Penn State defensively. They've got a lot of studs on the defensive side of the football, so really it's about Drew Aller putting it together. The Nittany Lions, this could very well be their year. I mean, obviously Ohio State, they'd have to contend with them. They're loaded, but I think, you know, Drew Aller is one of those guys who can help them elevate that program and take them where they haven't been in quite some time. They've consistently been a 10-win team, but it's one of those things that they continue to be overlooked as a 10-win team. So, you know, I think there's a lot of work there that needs to be done, but I'm a fan of Drew Aller's. It's just a matter of him putting it all together on a consistent basis. There are two quarterbacks who have very little starting experience, but they're very intriguing guys that I get excited about, and I'm looking forward to seeing what they can do when the season comes. One of those is Connor Wegman out of Texas A&M, and the other is Garrett Nussmeier out of LSU. Now, are they in my top 10? I've got them a little bit lower on my list because of that, because of the inability to stay on the football field, at least for Wegman, and with Nussmeier, just one start to his name. But with Wegman, 6'3", 215, 979 yards passing, 8 touchdowns, just 2 interceptions, but he only played in 4 games, had a foot injury, ended up having to shut down the rest of the season. This is a guy, he has a big arm, he's athletic, knows what to do with the football, very decisive. That was another thing that I saw. You know, look, he's a 5-star recruit, so we know that he's going to be a strong passer of the football. I think pre-snap at times, you know, I watched the Miami game, threw for 336 yards in that game, but, you know, I thought pre-snap, didn't always recognize the blitz, didn't always see the entire field. A lot of the pressure there, they bring guys late, wasn't always able to pick that up. But I loved his ability to move within the pocket, his ability to sidestep defenders, gets defensive tackles in his face, able to know, you know, and then knows where to go with the football there. That internal clock. We talk about the internal clock that Shedeur Sanders has to work with. I thought, you know, Connor Wegman really showed that ability there in that game against Miami. Now with Nussmeier, what's interesting about him, you know, he's 6'2", 220 pounds, son of NFL quarterback and coach in both the collegiate ranks and in the NFL, Doug Nussmeier. And with Garrett, look, this was a guy who sat behind Jalen Daniels, really got to see what Jaden Daniels was able to do out there on the field, especially that Heisman Trophy winning year, and ended up stepping in for him there. His only start was in the Wisconsin in the ReliaQuest Bowl, and really had himself a day. 395 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, just 1 interception. Led them to a comeback. They were down 28-14, end up winning 35-31. What I really loved was his ability at, you know, pre-snap. He looked so comfortable in the offense, making the checks, making the reads, adjusting the protection. He saw the whole defense too. He's picking up the blitzes late, being able to make those adjustments there. Reorganizing and moving his receivers around. He does trust his arm a little bit too much. Will try to fit the ball into a tight window, but you love the ball ball placement, the timing, the velocity. Was making some back shoulder throws that were impressive. Can throw the football down the field. Will change those arm angles as well. Really a talented quarterback in just a short period of time that we've gotten to see him on the football field. I'm looking forward to see what he can do, but here's the thing that makes me nervous about Garrett Nussmeier for this year at least. And with Garrett Nussmeier, look, we talk about quarterbacks. We talk about those veteran quarterbacks, right? All that were taken in round number one. For every, you know, if any quarterback who's had just 1 year of collegiate experience, you have, you know, guys like Akili Smith, or Mitchell Trubisky. Those are guys that continue to prove that the majority of the quarterbacks who only have 1 year of starting experience in college don't really pan out. They're not the best guys to hang your hat on. Or, you know, quarterbacks who only have one huge year. You know, those are quarterbacks that you always worry about as well. But in this case, with Nussmeier, I'd love to see him come back to LSU for one more season after this year. Possibly the same thing with Connor Wegman as well. Really want to see them hone their craft and really become a complete quarterback before they enter the draft. That's really going to improve their draft stock. I just don't see them as a first-round quarterback at this point. Could they potentially elevate their status? They could, but again, I have PTSD over Mitchell Trubisky, you know, and, you know, having, you know, him really fool everyone that, hey, that 1 year at UNC was worth him being taken in the top five. And, you know, a quarterback that teams, you know, Bears actually thought, hey, this was a guy that was going to take us to the promised land. And until it actually happens where we have another quarterback that only has 1 year of starting experience, you know, really that one season, you know, that actually is able to turn himself into an elite quarterback, I'm still a little gun-shy there. Cameron Ward out of Miami, right? 6'2", 223 pounds. This is a guy, he started his career at Incarnate Word, transfers to Washington State, so four-year starter there at those programs. This guy is an incredible playmaker. That's one of the things that I can say. The improvisational skills, I call them Caleb Williams light, because you know he would make a lot of these plays. He would vacate the pocket and do a lot of the same things that Caleb Williams was doing there at USC, he was doing at Washington State. The problem is he has such confidence in his arm strength that he makes a lot of bad decisions. I think with Caleb Williams, he had that rare arm talent, the ability to contort his body and just make some of these throws that you still scratch your head. If you've watched Hard Knocks, even the Bears defense is talking about, what in the world was that? How did that guy make the throw? With Cameron Ward, he needs to realize that, you know, he's got to dial that back a little bit. He's got to make sure that, you know, the decision making is on point. And really what I want to see is what he could do in that Miami offense. In Washington State, they had the spread, and it was a lot about, you know, just really a lot of the dink and dunk and things like that. I want to be able to see what he can do pushing the football down the field with regularity. You know, he's going to have Xavier Restrepo as his number one guy, number one target there, and really want to see the connection that he can build with Restrepo. I think, you know, he did that with Lincoln Victor there at Washington State, so I'm really interested to see what he can do. You know, his deep ball. You know, one of the things that was impressive, and you know, I saw that Jordan Reed of ESPN made the point that you know, Ward actually completed 55.3% of his passes that traveled 10 or more air yards. I think that's impressive. You know, I mean, this is the guy that when you ask him to air it out, more often than not, he's making those passes. So I just want to see the consistency there with him from a decision-making standpoint. That's really the big key with Cameron Ward. I think there was a time where Cam Ward was talked about as, hey, this is a guy that could be one of those sleepers for the draft, and a guy that could end up coming into that 2024 draft class. And really that conversation came in that Oregon State game, right? You know, the fourth week of the season for the Cougs, 28-34. I mean, that's 82.4% completion percentage, 404 yards and four touchdowns. They follow that, you know, and so they're 4-0. And then they follow it up with six straight losses. Very next game against UCLA, completes under 50% of his passes, 197 yards, touchdown, two interceptions, and you know, really started kind of a downward spiral there for the Cougs. And so that inconsistent play is something that I know that Mario Cristobal you know, won't stand for there at Miami. He needs to get some good production, especially with the way that, you know, Tyler Van Dyke kind of disappointed and you know, now is at Wisconsin. So they really need an infusion of some leadership and a guy that can really make plays there at that quarterback position. Jalen Milroe out of Alabama, you know, the 6'2", 220-pounder. This is a guy who loves to throw the football down the field. 34 completions of 20-plus air yards a season ago, but I don't think he has the biggest arm. You know, at least when you're talking about him throwing the football from the near hash to the far sideline down the field, too many of those balls were hanging up, underthrown, receivers having to come back to the football. That said, there's a lot to be said about what Jalen Milroe was able to do for Bama last year. Sixth in the Heisman voting, completed over 65% of his passes, 23 touchdowns, six interceptions, over 2,800 yards, and, you know, look, 531 yards on the ground, 12 touchdowns as well. What he did with his legs often opened up what he could do there as a passer, that threat to run, an elite runner of the football when we talk about the quarterback position. I talked about Shedeur Sanders being a tremendous athlete, but Jalen Milroe is a guy that was able to really get it done on the football, on the ground. But look, when you talk about Jalen Milroe, look, he was benched week three and was able to come back and lead Alabama to a win over Georgia in the SEC championship, ultimately falling to Michigan in the college football playoff. I thought Michigan had a tremendous game plan against Milrow. Milrow really struggled in that game to kind of get anything going. Only 116 yards passing. Did have 63 yards on the ground. I think at some points of that game really turned into more of a runner than a passer. I thought the extra blitzer late was throwing him off. He'd make the initial read of the defense. The defense would then audible. He would struggle to pick up that change. You'd see that in the game. As a runner against Michigan, look, you know, downhill, gets through multiple tackles, drags a defensive back, has that wiggle to make guys miss in the open field as well. I think he relies on his legs so much. You'll see him throwing off the back foot. Will get himself into trouble when he is under pressure. Inconsistent footwork, inconsistent mechanics. You know, will throw throw too high at times, get himself into trouble. There are some things with him that I really like as a passer, but I still see him as a better runner than he is a passer at this point. I think there are some that talk about Jalen Milrow as an elite prospect, as a potential first rounder. I just don't see it yet. I really want to see what Kalen DeBoer can do with Jalen Milrow. Can he mold him into the type of quarterback that we're talking about in round number one? Look, I talk about Dak Prescott and that jump that he made from his junior year to his senior year. He went from a great athlete who just happened to be playing quarterback to a quarterback who just happened to be a great athlete. And I think there's a huge difference. He was able to see the field a lot better, was able to make a lot of his throws with much more regularity. The accuracy turned into much more of a playmaker as a passer. And that's what I really want to see out of Jalen Milrow, is that consistency there, making those plays down the football field with regularity. So that's something that I'm going to be looking forward to seeing with Jalen Milrow. And look, I talked about the 34 completions down the field, but you know, it's a lot of those short to intermediate throws as well that he needs to clean up a little bit. There are some concerns when you watch Jalen Milrow. And again, I think that Kalen DeBoer can really help him with those. Riley Leonard out of Notre Dame, another guy, you know, same face but in a different place. And with Riley Leonard, you know, at Duke, you know, 6'4", 205 pounds. Look, he had a tremendous 2022 season. That was the year that, I think Riley Leonard really jumped into the national stage. Really, Duke had a phenomenal year, and this is a kid who, as a passer, 63.8% completion percentage, over 2,900 yards, 20 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. Had a 4-touchdown game against Wake Forest. In a losing effort against Pitt, had 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Really only had 3 games where he threw completed under 60% of his passes, right? And he also was getting the job done with his legs. You know, this is a guy who was able to run the football and make some plays. Had 130 yards and a touchdown there against North Carolina. Really a tremendous athlete. I mean, you saw him making plays with his legs as much, and sometimes even more so than with his arm. Obviously injuries were huge. That was one of the things that hurt him in 2023, were those injuries, and really getting all of that cleaned up, and being healthy. We only played in 7 games in 2023, completed just 57.6% of his passes for just over 1,100 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. But Riley Leonard is a tremendous athlete, and I think getting into Mike Denbrock's offense there at Notre Dame, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do there. I thought Sam Hartman, was a there were some limitations to Sam Hartman's game. Didn't have the arm that Riley Leonard has. Wasn't the dual threat quarterback that Riley Leonard is. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Leonard can do in that offense. Very fluid thrower. He has really good feet in the pocket as well. It's just one of those things to where, I think better protection and better, skilled receivers, and really that offensive line as well. Notre Dame is known for that offensive line. They are going to be replacing both tackles with Alt and Fisher leaving for the NFL. There's a lot to like with Riley Leonard's game, but the inconsistencies as a passer, really what is concerning more than anything else, I think, for me. For as tremendous an athlete that he is. It's one of those things where I think the footwork needs to be cleaned up, some of the mechanics. He can throw with anticipation, but he telegraphs some of his throws, and defensive defenders are able to make plays on the football, jump those routes, and they'll read his eyes. His eyes will take defenders to the football at times. I think he does a good job looking up. When he does look off the safety or linebackers, he's able. I think he's much better of a quarterback because, you know, instead of staring down that receiver, if he looks him off, obviously he's got a clearer window to make those throws. You just don't see the consistency there. You know, I know that he can do it. You know, I saw it even in a game against Notre Dame where he was able to use those eyes to manipulate the defense. He just needs to do that with consistency. You know, that staring down. Look, Xavier Watts. You know, they were at their own 14, down 7-0 in the first quarter. He goes through his progressions, then he stares down a receiver on a crossing route. Xavier Watts reads the play, makes a pick. Steps. Breaks on the ball, makes the pick, and puts them in prime possession, field position there for Notre Dame to make another score. So it's one of those things to where, can he clean some of those things up? Because you see the eye discipline, you see his ability to move in the pocket, you can tell that he's a definite, he's an athlete. Consistency, that's the big thing. Can Riley Leonard make the leap at Notre Dame and showcase his ability to be an effective quarterback in some big games? The next quarterback to talk about is going to be Will Howard out of Ohio State, formerly of Kansas State. So again, another quarterback, fresh faces in new places, right? And with Howard, look, this is a guy, under 60% completion percentage for the Wildcats in each of his first 3 years in Manhattan. Then final year there, really was his best year overall. 61.3% completion percentage for just over, a little over 2,600 yards, 24 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Obviously, there's some decision-making issues that he needs to get cleaned up, needs to cut down on the interceptions. But look, career highs in completion percentage, the yards, the touchdowns. So I know that Ohio State is looking to build off of that. But look, Ohio State is loaded at a lot of positions. So I think there is a lot of pressure on Will Howard to perform. Can he elevate his play? Veteran quarterback coming in. He was one of the top quarterbacks in the transfer portal. But at the end of the day, is this a guy that's going to be able to take Ohio State to the national title? I think the jury's really out there because you're talking about Will Howard against Carson Beck. That's why Georgia is ranked number one and Ohio State is not. Carson Beck is wearing that Georgia uniform. Now, this is a guy, he started the season with interceptions in five straight games, including just an abysmal game against Oklahoma State. 15-34 passing, 44.1% completion percentage, 152 yards, a touchdown, and three interceptions. Not going to get it done, right? But then he follows it up with, they went 3-1 during the stretch, but he wound up throwing, 12 touchdowns, just one interception against TCU, Houston, Texas, and Baylor. The only loss was coming to Baylor there. But look, he had completion percentages of 62.5 against the Horned Frogs, 88.2 against the Cougars, 15-17 passing there. Texas had 327 yards. That was the only game where he went over 300 yards. And really the entire season, not just in those matchups. But this is a guy, he was able to put it together and really start moving the needle as an effective passer. He's not a guy that's going to air it out consistently. So that's one of those things that I'll be curious to see. If Ohio State is looking to air the football out with consistency, Will Howard going to be able to do that? I think he's accurate on the short to intermediate routes, but not a guy who we're going to see push the field, push that ball down the field with regularity. That said, I watched the Troy game this last year, and he had Jaden Jackson right up the middle of the field, got behind the corner of the safety, showed the arm strength, air right under the ball, dropped it in right over the shoulder, fingertip catch for a 40-yard gain. So, ball placement, arm strength, it was there, perfect trajectory on that deep ball. But, you know, they weren't asked to do that a ton because K-State really ran the football as much as they did throw it. So he was more of a game manager. So that's really the question mark is, at Ohio State, you've got the running game with the two-headed monster of Quinshon Judkins and Trevion Henderson. You've got a lot of skill position guys. You know, are they going to ask him to do very much at that quarterback position, or is he going to be more of just a game manager for them? I think the jury's out there with Will Howard, though, in terms of whether or not he can be more than just a backup at the next level. You know, I really don't see enough there from Will Howard. He's going to have to make quite the leap for him to really be in any consideration, you know, other than a backup and really a day three quarterback. We're talking about the draft itself. Graham Mertz from Florida is an interesting guy. Look, at Wisconsin, he didn't even look draftable. And that's one of the things that, I've got a buddy who is a Wisconsin fan, and the 6'3", 227-pounder drove him nuts. You know, 4 years there at Wisconsin, was a 59.5% completion percentage, 38 touchdowns, but 26 interceptions. Just the decision-making, had 21 interceptions over his final 2 years there with the Badgers. Then he shows up at Florida and completely different guy. I mean, suddenly the command of the offense, just the confidence, they built that rapport instantly with Ricky Pearsall. Just under 73% completion percentage, 2,900 yards, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. This is a guy that really was dialed in with that offense. You saw the confidence continue to grow throughout the season there at Florida. Really want to see what he can do this year. Can he make the leap there with Billy Napier? I think they really need a huge year out of their quarterback. This is a veteran guy. Started a lot of games there at Wisconsin, and then started all 11 games there at Florida. He's intriguing for me only because we saw this leap. The leap in play when he transferred to Florida. Look, Russell Wilson was not a guy that was able to complete 60% of his passes when he was at NC State. It wasn't until he went to Wisconsin where he actually had that production. And this is a guy, he completed 57.8% of his passes at North Carolina State. 76 touchdowns with 26 interceptions. His final year at Wisconsin, over 3,100 yards, 72.8% completion percentage, 33 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So that's why I think it's intriguing when I watched Graham Mertz play. We saw the development there. And, there's some similarities in terms of the inept play where they were previously. There was some playmaking, some plays that they made, but look, you looked at it and you said, I don't know if they're going to be able to make that leap. And then they put it together in their new home. And I really want to see, can Graham Mertz take that next step? If he can, then this is a guy who has a viable chance to if nothing else, be an early day three pick. I think that's really his ceiling right now, but he's still intriguing enough for me to include him here in my top 10, top 11. Jalen Daniels out of Kansas is another really, really intriguing quarterback. The problem is he can't stay healthy, whether it's his back, whether it's his leg. This is a guy that just was beaten up. He's 6 foot, just over 200 pounds, but this last season completed 74.7% of his passes, as I said earlier, 705 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, just 1 interception, but only played in 3 games because of all the injuries. 2022 was his breakout year. That's where Kansas really, he was just blazing a trail there, right? 66.1% of his passes were completed, over 2,000 yards, 18 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, also 425 yards on the ground, 5.5 yards per carry, and 7 touchdowns. Now, in that 2022 season, before he gets injured, he had K-State winning, the first 5 games of the year, right? I mean, against Duke, 82.6% completion percentage with 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. Against Houston, rushed for 123 yards, 2 touchdowns, only threw for 158 yards, but 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Against West Virginia, 219 yards, 3 touchdowns on 62% completion percentage, and rushed for 85 yards and on the day there as well. So this was a guy, he was tremendous. And then he gets injured in that, I believe it was the Iowa State game. And it was one of those things to where he just never could return to form because you know, again, battling some of those injuries. You saw a little bit of, hey, what he could do as a playmaker there against Arkansas in the bowl game. 544 yards passing, 5 touchdowns to just, you know, 2 interceptions in that game. Obviously, Kansas wound up coming up just short in that game, 55-53. But look, you know, there was a stretch there in the fourth quarter, leads them back. You know, 2 touchdowns in you know what, just over a minute of play, and overtime throws another touchdown, and ultimately they end up losing on that 2-point conversion there in the third overtime. They weren't able to convert. But this was a guy, look, he was going toe-to-toe with KJ Jefferson and was showing up and showing out and making plays. The big question mark there is, can he stay healthy? If he can, I mean, look, he's got a lot of talented receivers that are coming back there at Kansas. That's one of the things that I think is really intriguing about Jalen Daniels. Again, if he can stay healthy, obviously he's going to have a new offensive coordinator, but he's got Devin Neal, top 10 running back, and then he's got some really solid receivers. Quentin Skinner's back. Lawrence Arnold is back. Luke Grimm also back. Loses his tight end, Mason Fairchild, but you know, this is a guy that I think he just needs to stay healthy. He's a dynamic playmaker. He's a lot of fun to watch, but injuries are definitely going to be a concern going forward for him. So that's really going to be the major question mark with Jalen Daniels. But we'll have to see how things go. You know, this is going to be a senior year, last year there at Kansas. So, you know, hopefully if he can stay healthy, he'll be one of those guys that teams will want to take a flyer on because of his dynamic ability as a runner, but then also his ability, you know, look, he's a, you know, he completes passes in bunches. And so I think that effectiveness as a passer is going to be very intriguing. You know, he missed 14 games over the last 2 years, so obviously that's going to be the biggest concern more than anything else. Dylan Gabriel out of Oregon. Third school, started at UCF, went to Oklahoma. So 3 years with the Golden Knights, 2 years with the Sooners. This was a guy that, you know, look, you know, he's a lefty. He's a guy that I think has a ton of talent. He's small. You know, so he's under 6 feet tall, just right around 200 pounds. Oklahoma, look, this last year, 69% completion percentage, over 3,600 yards, 30 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. I think one of the things with him is, you know, the arm strength is not there. I think he makes a lot of good decisions, quick reads, throws receivers open. I think that's one of the things that he does very well. Can throw the ball to all three levels, but the arm strength, he really has to put his entire body into some of those throws. And one of the things, he gets himself into trouble because his mechanics are not always the best, especially on some of his deep balls or even the intermediate throws. When he's trying to layer a throw, will throw it, has a tendency to throw it high. You'll see that upper, you know, that leading shoulder will get himself into trouble as well. And he'll step in the bucket at times and not really step to his target. And you know, there's just some of those mechanics that need to be cleaned up. He's going to Oregon. Will Stein, the offensive coordinator there, worked wonders with Bo Nix. Want to see what he can do there with Dylan Gabriel. Look, he's going to have Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson there as receivers for him. But look, Dylan Gabriel, he's a guy that I think teams may take a flyer on day 3 of the draft because of his lack of size. He's probably nothing more than a backup at the next level at this point, especially because he struggles with that arm strength. Look, at least with Russell Wilson, smaller quarterback, but he has a big arm. Kyler Murray, smaller quarterback, but has a big arm. Dylan Gabriel, not so much. KJ Jefferson, I mentioned him earlier, started his career there at Arkansas. Big dude, 6'3", 245, right? 5 years at Arkansas, over 7,900 yards passing, 65% completion percentage, 67 touchdowns, just 18 interceptions, had 8 this last season. That was the most that he's had in his career. Also 1,800 yards on the ground, 21 touchdowns. He's a big dude, has a big arm. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do in Gus Malzahn's offense. I think he's mobile, obviously. You know, he's big, he's physical. You know, had back-to-back years in 2021 and 2022 with over 600 yards on the ground. It's going to be interesting, you know, with seeing this transition. I think, you know, with UCF, getting him in there. No slight to John Rhys Plumlee, but I think KJ Jefferson just brings a different dynamic. I think because of his arm, he can make some of those throws down the field with more regularity. You know, he and Kobe Hudson, you know, can really start turning things up. And his physicality as a runner. Look, you know, I thought John Rhys Plumlee, you know, was dynamic in the open field, will make you miss, but KJ Jefferson can run you over, get physical, and get some of those tough yards. So he's one to watch. Here's a sleeper for you. And that's Donovan Smith, formerly of Texas Tech, went to Houston this past year. And you know, look, at Houston, 64.5% completion percentage, 2,800 yards, 22 touchdowns with 13 interceptions. He's got to clean up all the mistakes. That's really the biggest thing. He's huge, 6'5", 241, can throw the football all over the field, all three levels, huge arm throwing the football down the field, you know, really no issues with that deep ball. You know, you talk about, you know, we were talking earlier about Jalen Milroe throwing the ball from the near hash to the far sideline. Don't have to worry about that with Donovan Smith. You know, he's a guy this year that, you know, I think we could argue potentially has one of the bigger arms, although he underwent surgery on his throwing shoulder this offseason, so really want to see if the arm strength is back to the level that it has been. But this is a guy, look, you know, when you have a guy that has the big arm, he'll lack touch on some of those shorter throws. I thought that's one of the things that Michael Penix Jr. struggled with, was the lack of touch on some of the shorter throws. So that's really the big thing that we want to see out of Donovan Smith for sure. Look, you know, 428 yards on the ground, 6 touchdowns this past season with Houston. He's one of those guys that I think if he can clean up a lot of the mistakes, because we know he's got the big arm, we know he's a great athlete, he's one of those sleepers. You know, he, at Texas Tech, you know, there were a ton of quarterbacks there at Texas Tech that were battling for a job. He still ended up, you know, he completed over 64% of his passes there with the Red Raiders, over 2,600 yards, 19 touchdowns with 10 interceptions. So again, even at Tech in Lubbock, he still struggled with accuracy, decision-making at times. So it's really going to be interesting to see what Donovan Smith can do, but he's really a sleeper. Now, DJ Uiagalelei, feels like this guy has been in college for forever, right? The big 6'4", 250-pounder, started his career at Clemson, went to Oregon State for a year. Now he's at Florida State, so his third team. And look, this is a guy, after his freshman year, you know, he comes in, plays in 10 games, 914 yards, passing, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions, completed, you know, 66.7% of his passes. Everyone in Clemson was thinking, all right, this is going to be the guy, right? And then he struggles. I mean, especially in 2021. I mean, under 60% completion percentage, more interceptions than touchdowns. Rebounded in 2022, but 2023 moves on to Oregon State because Kate Klubnik beat him out in 2022 there. But the Beavs, again, under 50% or 60% completion, just completing 57.1%. 2,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. This is a guy who just, it was frustrating to watch because there were receivers that would break open and he would be late with the football. It's like, just get the ball to the receiver. The receiver's there. You know, being able to see the entire field, you know, be able to get the fit the football into those tight windows. I thought he was just so late with the football. And, you know, it just felt like he was gun-shy, especially after that 2021 season. I just don't know that he's rebounded yet. So Mike Norvell has got his work cut out for him, really needs to help him with his development. I think that's the thing that really is worrying me at this point is can DJ Uiagalelei rebound? Can he put together a really good year? Because there's a lot of talent there. He's a big kid, strong arm, can make a lot of plays, but there are just some definite concerns when you watch him play. Minnesota is going to have a solid quarterback in Max Brosman. You know, this is something that Minnesota has really struggled, you know, getting a good quarterback in there that can make plays. You know, 6'2", 217 pounds, started at New Hampshire for 5 years. Last year, over 3,400 yards passing, 29 touchdowns. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what can he do there at Minnesota. The offense is the same, but can his skill set translate to the FBS level? That's something to watch out for. Noah Fifita out of Arizona. Now, Noah Fifita, look, he's the nephew of Stephen Fifita, a good friend of mine from high school who went on to play at Utah and then with the Miami Dolphins. He's coaching now. Shout out to Big Steve. Love Fifi. And look, Noah Fifita, it was fun to watch him as the reigning Pac-12 Offensive Freshman of the Year. This is a guy that is a redshirt sophomore. Is he a guy that we're going to be talking about for this next draft class? Likely not, just because he is small. You know, he's 5'11", 194 pounds. But look, you know, completed over 72% of his passes, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. The completion percentage, that 72.4%, was a school record there at Arizona. He was a playmaker. He was so exciting. You know, he elevated Arizona's play there, took over for Jaden Delora. Look, Jed Fish is gone. In comes Brent Brennan from San Jose State. So you want to see how that works, how that plays out. But the chemistry that he has with Teteroa McMillan from their days, even before they went to Servite, they were, you know, friends growing up. Then at Servite, there in Anaheim, California, they really, you know, that connection really developed that much more to say, hey, you know what, we want to play together at the University of Arizona. They stuck it out there at Arizona as well together. And, Teteroa McMillan is going to be a first-round wide receiver. With Noah Fifita, you know, if he's a few inches taller, he's probably getting much more hype this year. But again, he's only a redshirt sophomore, so there's still additional room for him to grow. Something to keep an eye out if Noah Fifita has another big year there at Arizona, we're talking about the Wildcats in that Big 12 making some noise. It's just new coach. Going to be interesting to see how all of that plays out. TJ Finley there at Western Kentucky. Look, this guy's played a little bit of everywhere, right? LSU for a year, Auburn for a couple of years, Texas State. This dude's huge. He's 6'7", 255 pounds. Threw over 3,400 yards for G.J. Kinney there, the Bobcats there at Texas State. 24 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. He can move pretty well for his size, but struggles with some accuracy. I think there are definite accuracy problems there for T.J. Finley. You know, there's a reason why he's now going to his fourth school. Wasn't able to really get it done there in the SEC. But now he's at Western Kentucky there in Conference USA. But look, at LSU and Auburn, really struggled. Was under 60% completion percentage at Texas State, 67.4%. He's intriguing. He also got to throw the football a lot more there at State. Played in 18 games over the first 3 years there in the SEC. Never really got much of a chance to be the guy. His first year actually being the guy there at Texas State, G.J. Kinney really worked with him. And decision-making, accuracy at times, got him into trouble. But really want to see what he can do now there at Western Kentucky. Because, look, you think of Bailey Zappe. You think of Austin Reed. So now, can they have similar success there? Tyson Helton and company there with T.J. Finley. That's something to keep an eye out there. Or as well. But look, this draft class at the quarterback spot, again, there are a lot of question marks with this group. Where do we start? Kyle McCord going to Syracuse. He was a guy that just couldn't get it done there at Ohio State. He needs to have a big year there at Syracuse. Cam Rising, a gutty, gritty quarterback, doesn't have a lot of the physical traits that you're looking for in a quarterback, but man, this dude is tough. He's a leader. How many come from behind wins did Utah have? Whenever Cam Rising was there at under center playing USC, you just knew Cam Rising was going to figure out a way to win that football game. Coming off of the injury, gonna have to see how that plays out. Garrett Green at West Virginia, can he be consistent? Is he a runner more so than a passer? Kate Klubnik at Clemson just hasn't been able to put it together. Can he do that now? They're at Clemson. They need a big year out of him. Grayson McCall, kind of the gimmicky offense there at Coastal Carolina. Now he's moving to NC State. Really want to see what he could do there. Can he elevate his game? Will Rogers, you know, played at Mississippi State. Now he's moving on to Washington. You know, I'm actually looking forward to seeing what Will Rogers could do, because obviously Mississippi State, you know, he played for the Pirate, the late great Mike Leach. You know, spread the football around. What can you do in Jed Fish's offense? That's going to be interesting to see. Curtis Rourke moving from Eastern Michigan to Indiana. What can his game do? I thought he was a better runner than a passer, but he's a little bit more dynamic than his brother was there at Eastern Michigan. Caden Salter was a playmaker there at Liberty. More of an athlete than a quarterback, though. Tyler Shuck, they're at Louisville now. You know, he's bounced around to, you know, a few different programs now, from Oregon to Texas Tech. Now he's at Louisville. You know, you've got Tyler Van Dyke at Wisconsin. Can he resurrect his career? This is a guy that I think everybody was talking about. They're at Miami. You know, that redshirt freshman year, over 2,900 yards, 62.3% completion percentage, 25 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. You know, played just 9 games in 2022, but then 2023, 19 touchdowns and 12 interceptions, ended up losing his starting job, and that's why he's there at Wisconsin now. Can Luke Fickell and company help this kid resurrect his career? He's got a lot of tools. You look at him, he's got the size, he's got the arm strength. He just needs to put a consistent season together, and you know, that's a big question mark at this point for him. So, those are the quarterbacks. I think when we take a look at my group, the quarterbacks that I'm confident in with this year's draft, I look at Carson Beck, Shedeur Sanders, Quinn Ewers, all going in round number one. Carson Beck to the Giants, definitely a possibility there. Daniel Jones, what are you going to get out of him? Shedeur Sanders, the Raiders, already mentioned that. Matthew Stafford maybe coming to the end of his career. Could Quinn Ewers be the guy in L.A.? After that, the next group, could these guys sneak into round one? Possibly. Drew Aller, Jalen Milroe, Riley Leonard, Cam Ward. I think that's that next group of guys you're possibly talking about day two. Potentially day three as well. Just really depends on, you know, the consistency out of all of these quarterbacks. Connor Wegman, Garrett Nussmeier, not much of a body of work to work with coming into the season. To me, I'd love to see them stick around for another year. But nevertheless, intriguing quarterbacks who could potentially still be taken in the first 2 days of the draft. After that, you know, Jackson Dart is one of those guys who's very tough to evaluate because of the offense that he plays in. How does he translate to the next level? That's the big question mark there for him. So really, as we've looked at this, we've already talked about, 10 quarterbacks. Again, Wegman, Nussmeier may not even enter the draft. After that, there are question marks. Will Howard, Grant Mertz, Dylan Gabriel, KJ Jefferson, Jalen Daniels, can he stay healthy? You know, these are all quarterbacks we're probably talking about day three, at least right now. And that's really where I think their ceiling is right now. But again, lots of question marks with new faces in new places, really familiar faces, but again, in new places. So you really want to see how that's going to play out. Going to be interesting. And again, I look at this group, there are 7 quarterbacks that I feel pretty comfortable with for this next draft. After that, there are just a ton of questions. So that's what's going to be fun about that 2024 college football season. There are 20-plus quarterbacks that we could be talking about as we get ready for the NFL draft. We'll just have to see how the season plays out and really get a better idea of just how many of these quarterbacks are going to get drafted. We'll talk about the running backs next. Ollie Gordon, is he at the top of the list? Is it Asha Gianti, Quinshon Judkins, Omarion Hampton, Jaden Knott, Travion Henderson? I could go on and on. Really a strong running back class. I know the running back group has been devalued, but there's 10, 11 running backs that could potentially get drafted in the first 2 days of the draft. I mean, that's what's crazy. There are a lot of really talented running backs in this class. Really excited to discuss that. And I'll be bringing that to you here in the next couple of days. So until next time, for ReadyForTheDraft.com, this has been the Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Enjoy your weekend. And until next time, I am out of here.